Genesis chapter number 3, I'm going to begin reading a familiar story here, but the message is going to be a little bit different, not that familiar. On these pillars here, you'll notice there's notebooks on the back of them. If you want to grab one while we're reading, go ahead. I want to give you some notes today, and it might be worth your writing them down and contemplating them, as I want to deal with an issue that many people struggle with. And I hope that we can find some answers today from the Word of God. Genesis 3:9 says, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou hast returned unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." I want to tackle a subject this morning in the message that may actually invoke more questions then the message does answers. But that's all right. I want to encourage you to take the message and think about it, contemplate it, meditate upon it, ponder, search it out. But just don't ask me afterwards. Because I'm going to invoke some questions that I don't know the answers to. And the message will be a little bit different today. But I want to talk about the subject of blaming God. Blaming God, it's something that man has become pretty good at, blaming God for almost everything. I want to talk about what the Bible says about that, and I want to give you seven, I guess we could call them reasons or directions that we should maybe put blame towards or reasons towards beside God. God seems to get blamed for everything. It seems to be the fallen nature of man to immediately blame God for something that has happened. We see that in the very first human being that was ever created, in Adam. It says here in verse number 12, after Adam had fallen into sin, he had disobeyed the Lord, listened to his wife, he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had commanded him not to eat thereof, in verse 11. And notice man's response now. This is immediately upon his fall. Man's response, this is Adam. It says, And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I want you to notice the immediate blame shifting. The first thing man does when he falls is he begins to shift blame. He shifts the blame to the woman first, but ultimately to God. He says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. If you hadn't given her to me, none of this would have happened. It's your fault, God. And it seems like since that time until today, there are some people, now some of you don't need this message, and praise God for it. You live a life of praise. You just love to praise the Lord. You love to worship the Lord. And you don't put blame on God that ought not to be put there. But a lot of people do. A lot of people struggle with this. And it seems to be our fallen nature. Keep your place here. And I'd like you to turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 19. The book of Proverbs in chapter number 19. I want you to notice here, Solomon is a very wise man. God filled his heart with understanding when he asked. The Holy Spirit now says through Solomon, Proverbs 19 and verse number 3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. You see it? His heart fretteth against the Lord. His heart fretteth against the Lord. It seems like the fallen nature of man is that his heart frets against the Lord. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And one of the wickednesses that proceeds from the heart of man is he's constantly fretting against the Lord. You see it there? It's just his nature to blame God. Why does God allow wars to go on? Why does God allow this earthquake? Why did God allow this tornado? Why did God let my wife die? Why did God let my husband die? Why did God let one of my children die? Why did God let me have this flat tire? You know, like he took the air out of your tire or something. Didn't have anything else to do, maybe. I think I'll give this person a flat. God gets blamed for everything from some people. It says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. This subject that I'm talking about has literally caused a few people to become atheists and agnostics. They cannot reconcile in their minds what they know about God. And usually the only thing they know about God is that God is love. They forget also that he's a holy God and a just God, and he's a God who's slow to anger and all those other things. And they cannot reconcile what they see going on in the human race, the disease and the suffering and the starvation and the famines and so on and so forth. They can't reconcile that with the little bit they know about God, and so they choose just not to believe in God. And some of them become atheists, agnostics, secularists, humanistic. Enemies of the Lord, speak against him every time they can, curse him, blaspheme him every time, every chance they get. Why does God? Why does God? Why does God? Why does God? It seems like the first thing that comes out, their heart frets against the Lord. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Some people are always fretting against the Lord. Are you like that? Are you like that sometimes? If you lose your health, if you lose your job, why did God, first thing, why did God take away my job? Why did God take away my... Well, I want to bring out some other reasons today. I want you to just think about some things. And again, some of these things are going to invoke questions. I understand that. But I guess in a way, I want to come to God's defense today. The last I knew, he was perfect. Matthew 5 and verse 48 says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. The last I knew, he's never made a mistake. If he does, let him admit it. But we ought not to be blaming him. But it seems that's the nature. Now, I want to give you seven maybe reasons or directions that we can put blame in for these things, or reasons for why things happen that maybe we haven't thought about, and maybe this will kind of clear up maybe some of the fog, maybe some of the mist will lift from our minds and our understanding and enjoying God. I believe we're supposed to enjoy the Lord. We're supposed to know him and love him and enjoy him. But if our heart's always fretting against the Lord, we're not going to enjoy him. So let me give you some reasons today. I'll give you seven of them here and just jot these down and think about them later. Number one, the devil. Number one, the devil. Maybe the blame should be the devil. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Now, Abraham has just blamed his wife. And Adam has just blamed his wife Eve in verse 13, or verse 12, and also blamed God. The woman that thou gavest me. God, it's your fault. If you hadn't given her to me, I'd be all right. The woman you gave me. And the Lord said unto the woman, and then, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, notice now what the Lord says in verse number 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, now notice these next five words. Because thou hast done this. Because thou hast done this. Who is the serpent? Satan? The devil? Where did God put the blame? Satan, first of all, number one. Because thou hast done this. You did this. You know, I don't think the devil gets enough blame these days. I think we ought to be blaming him for just about everything. He's the tempter, isn't he? He hates God. He hates man and woman because we're made in the image of God. He hates all of God's institutions, the government. He hates marriage. He hates family. He hates the church. He just is a destroyer. Jesus said he came to kill and to steal and to destroy. I believe he's the one that incites wars, murders. He got into the first family. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. Adam and Eve had a couple boys, Cain and Abel, and the devil got into Cain and stirred him up to murder his brother Abel. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. He said, the lusts of your father you will do. He says he just lusts to kill people. You say, why has there been wars all through history? Because behind the scenes, there are principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places that just incites people to hate each other, racism and bigotry and wars. That's not God's fault. He didn't tell us to live that way. Because thou hast done this. That's where God pinned the blame, number one, the devil. Number two, sin and sinners. Number two, sin and sinners. A lot of blame. We read about all the curses in this portion of Scripture that we confront. We have to work. We have to sweat. Death and sorrow and thistles and thorns and difficult pregnancies, even for women and carrying children with sorrow and the sorrow of bringing children into the world. And then when it's all over with, we return to the ground out of which we were taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And when we say, why did all these consequences come upon us? Not because of God, but because of sin and sinners, verse 16. He begins to talk, this is what's going to happen to the woman and unto man, he says in verse number 17, and then he talks about the cursed ground. And the diseased trees and the diseased plants and the animals that all get sick and die. And Paul would say in the book of Romans, the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, waiting for the adoption, waiting for the redemption, waiting for the new earth. Even animals get sick and die. The very nature of animals has changed. They hunt each other now. It's not like paradise. It's not like Eden was. Sin brought that on, the curse of sin, the consequences of sin, and the curse of the actions of sinners who sin. I know a dear fellow that I've worked with for years and years whose son was killed by a drunken driver. I've sat down with him many times in his house. And while he was driving, he was hit head-on by a drunken driver. His boy was seriously injured, and he held his little six-year-old boy in his arms, and his boy died in his arms. If you can imagine that. And every time I ever talk to him, he always starts with this, why did God let my son die? First thing out of his mouth, whenever I talk to him. And I've told him over and over again, I said, you know, God wrote a book, Truths, and he handed it to mankind, and we're responsible for what it says. And Over and over and over in this book, I know of at least 75 references where he says, don't get drunk. He says to the human race, don't get drunk. That's what God says. Is it God's fault if a human being gets drunk? Is it God's fault if that human being gets behind a car and drives down the road against the law illegally drunk? Is that God's fault? No, that's the consequence of sin and sinners. God ought not to be blamed for that. But man's heart frets against the Lord. And I said to him, sir, I believe I can promise you on the authority of God's word that if you will get saved and trust Christ as your Savior, you'll see your boy in heaven again someday. Sin and sinners. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man, Adam. Romans 5 and verse number 12. And then I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes, and I want to say number three, time. Time, or maybe you want to call it timing. Some things happen to us because of time or timing. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, God says, and through Solomon I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Sometimes time, timing. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Timing. It has nothing to do with the Lord. It's just timing. Back in 1922, a whole bunch of mothers had baby boys. And 1923, and 1924, 1925, 1926, a whole bunch of mothers had baby boys. They were so thrilled when those boys were born. So excited. I'm sure like mothers who have boys today, they said, oh, I told everybody, we had a baby boy. But they did not know that the timing of their pregnancy, the timing of their life, the timing of their birth of their children would coincide with the rise of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, and the rise of Shinto imperialists in Japan, and the rise of Benito Mussolini, so that when those boys ended up being 18, World War II would begin. And 450,000 of them would die in 4 years. Time and chance happens to all. Others would have boys in 1927, 1928, 1929. Not one of those boys died in the war. They were too young to serve. Time. Timing. No fault of God's. It's time and chance happens. 80,000 people. Back on September the 11th, 2001, went to work in New York City in Manhattan. About 40,000 went into the World Trade Tower. About 40,000 went into the other one. Another day of work. And some demon-possessed men took airplanes and turned them into fuel bombs and plowed those airplanes into the World Trade Center on September the 11th, 2001. Timing. They just happened to be there that day. No fault of God's. The Bible says, time and chance happens to all. Sometimes that's a good thing. we live in a day of superior health care, communications, inventions, transportation. We're so blessed. We just happen to be born at this time. What would you do if you had bad teeth and you're living in the 1700s, 1800s, toothache? What would you do? Timing. Sometimes it's just timing, folks. And the number four, chance. Timing and chance happen to all. Happens to all. I got a story down in my office about a pastor, good man, independent Baptist preacher out in Indiana. Just driving down the road one day, his pretty little wife and three little kids in the back seat. Stormy, windy, and while he was driving down the road, an oak tree fell. Top of his car, killed him, killed his wife, killed two of his three children. The Bible calls that chance. No skid marks. No attempt to stop. Just chance. Oak tree fell over. No fault of God's. I don't think God stood there and said, here he comes, push the tree over. I don't think so. Now, the pastor lived in a parsonage, pastoring a church out in the Midwest. Tremendous windstorm. Church had a metal roof on it. Said to his wife, I better go over and check the building, see how it is. While he was crossing the field, one of the metal sheets taken off by the wind. He never saw it coming. Wind came down, metal sheet hit him in the head, killed him just like that. Chance. I went to school with a fella over here in Orchard Park. His name was Art. I remember him because we were the only Arts in school. Us Arts stick together. There's not many of us left. While he was driving eastbound on Route 20 over near the football stadium, a trucker was driving westbound going to Ohio with a bunch of I-beams. For some reason, his load became insecure, and one of the I-beams bounced off the truck, went right through the windshield, went right through Art. Killed him just like that. Just like that. Timing and chance happens to all. Someday you or I are going to be in the wrong place. You know, I don't know, I take these things, I thought about these things for years, I take these things into my heart because I know something's going to happen to me someday, something's going to happen to my wife, something's going to happen to one of my kids, something's going to happen to somebody. It's not going to be any fault of God's at all. It's just going to be timing and chance. And then there's natural laws, number five. There's natural laws. And these natural laws that God has spoken to existence, God does not interfere with. Over in Geneseo, about an hour and a half from here, a man 2 weeks ago jumped out of an airplane, 63 years of age, an expert parachutist. His chute didn't open. The natural law of gravity, the magnetism of the core of this earth pulled him to the ground at a certain rate. It doesn't matter how much praying he did or anybody else did at that time. He died. Natural law. The fellow lived about a mile down the road here on Hemlock, who was working construction. He had a big pipe on his bulldozer, a big steel pipe, drain pipe or something. And as he lifted it one day, he lifted it into some electrical wires. And he was electrocuted and killed immediately. There's natural laws about electricity. They don't change for anybody. I went to his funeral. He knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. I had a friend I used to run track with. He was an amazing two-miler. We used to run a two-mile back then. Now everything's metric, but he never lost. He just never lost. And one day he was driving a car. We had all gotten our licenses, and the ironic thing was when I took driver ed, he sat right next to me. We were in the same car, and there was three others, and two of them are dead today from car accidents in the same car I was in. And as he went around the curve too fast, he lost control, and he went off the road and into an immovable object, and he was killed at the age of 18. There's a natural law called inertia, and that law doesn't change for anybody. Natural laws do not change for anybody. I don't care who you are, how spiritual you are. You can pray and fast for 7 days if you want to and jump out of an airplane without a parachute. You can get the whole church praying for you. All right? You get every believer on earth, you know, praying for you and saying, I'm going to jump out of an airplane. You know, the devil took Jesus up on a pinnacle of the temple one time and said, throw yourself off. The angels will take charge of you. And what did he say? Don't tempt the Lord God. Tempt the Lord God. A friend of mine I played basketball with got too close to the edge of a cliff one time, fell 150 feet and died. Now, when God interferes with natural laws, we call that miracles. But over in Luke, if you want to turn there, chapter 4 and verse 25, we get this insight from the Lord about miracles. He says in Luke 4 and verse 25, but I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. You see, miracles are God's business, not ours. But miracles are spoken in the Bible as being rare, not the natural, not the normal, to serve God's purposes. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a fiery furnace, that was a miracle. Why? Because natural laws, fire consumes human bodies. And we're amazed by that miracle. But may I remind you that since that time, hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of other brothers and sisters in the Lord have been burned at the stake for Jesus Christ, and not one that we know of was ever delivered. There are natural laws that you and I are subject to. I knew a brother over in Angola years ago, about 20 years ago, I used to try to minister to him. His body was a wreck. And this brings me to number 6, human error. Human error is why some things happen to us. And as he drove down Route 5 heading into Buffalo, another lady was driving back out of Buffalo and she dropped a cigarette. And as she reached for the cigarette, her arm naturally pulled to the left and brought her straight on head first into that young man who died. But for several years, he had to live with his disabilities before he died. And I used to go and talk to him, his wife. Brethren, that's human error. That's not God's fault. God doesn't want people to smoke cigarettes. He does not want people to drive distracted by anything. Food, cell phones, reading, radios, so on. He wants us to pay attention. But sometimes people make human error. It's just human error. The fellow down in Atlanta years ago Driving a school bus of children, thought he could get across the tracks, didn't. 38 children were killed by a train. He lost his mind. He went insane thinking about his error. Those steering the Titanic warned about icebergs. Ran into one. We know the story. I heard a story about a pilot on a small plane. It's going to take three girls to school. Somewhere out in Alaska where they had to fly him into school. Forgot to fill his tanks. Last words he ever said was, please tell their parents I'm sorry. They trusted me to keep my tanks full. He crashed and they all died. Now probably somebody in these stories said, why did God let this happen? Folks, people make mistakes. People make mistakes all the time. And sometimes they harm others. Sometimes they kill others. My pastor that I had for a few years hit a boy on a bicycle and killed him. Boy was wearing dark clothes at night. Didn't have a chance. Just have to live with that. That brings me to number seven, accidents. Accidents. Jesus said over in Luke in chapter number 13 and verses 1 or verse 3 through 5. Verse 4, he says, or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Tower fell on them. 17 died in Jesus' day. It was in the news in his day. Tower just fell, killed 17 people. You know, 5 people this week were killed by lightning in America. 4 men, 1 lady. That's always, I don't know why, it's always 4 men, 1 lady, always. Lightning always kills 4 men to every lady. This happened this week. 23-year-old lady, jogging. Jogging. Time and chance happens to all. Accidents. Brother John's here this morning. Just got back from Kansas, funeral for his nephew. 4 years old, John. Semi-truck driver, backing up, ran over his nephew last week. Killed him. It's an accident. It's human error. That's what it was. And yet through all this, God's purposes can be fulfilled. And over 600 people came to the funeral. John's brother, I don't know how he did it. I don't know what I'd do if that happened to one of my kids. But John's brother preached the gospel. A bunch of people were saved at the funeral. I don't think God made that human error. I don't think God made that accident. But God can bring his purposes through our errors, through our accidents, through time, through chance. The purposes of God can be fulfilled. And I'll close with this because it's probably the frustration. And I'm going to continue this tonight at 6:30. But this is probably the frustration of the psalmist when he said 4 times in one chapter, he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see his frustration? I think he's saying, I wish men wouldn't fret against the Lord. I wish their hearts wouldn't fret against the Lord. Everything that happens, they seem to put the blame on God for some reason. He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad to know, he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But I'll still trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know my way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Draw the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. I don't mind defending God. He's my advocate. He's defending me against all those accusations up in heaven. Whether they're true or untrue, he's defending me. In this world, we need some people that know what they're talking about to defend the Lord. And I know this probably invokes some questions, but I hope it's giving you some answers, too, for why some of the things have happened in your life or to those you know, why things happen to good people. And I hope we can be defenders of God as he's our defender. For we have an advocate with God, Jesus Christ the righteous. Do you know Christ is your Savior today? When you accept him as your Savior, you get more than a Savior. You get an advocate who just stands at the right hand of the Father in heaven and the throne, and every time the devil accuses you, he's there to say, my blood is sufficient to pay the price. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to just have a time of invitation and prayer and a couple of baptisms here if you can stay. And we just want you to think about these things. I hope tonight, today, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, do you fret against the Lord? You find yourself by nature just wanting to blame him for things, or maybe there's one issue, one thing in your life that you just can't get over. Maybe God has provided some answer today. Maybe not. But if you'll ask him, he'll help you. Oh, God, help us. Now we pray for souls to come to Jesus as their Savior. We pray you'd help us, Lord. We help us to see that so much of the blame that's put on you ought to be placed in some other direction or some other reason. And thank you for a book that gives us answers. I haven't given them all, Lord, but you have them. Lord, reveal things to us. Comfort people. Lift the mist, Lord. Lift the fog from some people's understanding this morning so that they can enjoy you more. Trust you more until the end, and you're going to make it clear. You're going to make it plain. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.